Kirsty did not exist before this episode. What they are about to describe is happening across Yorkshire and the Humber as you listen. This is their story. In one of the most deprived constituencies in the country, healthcare workers who could save lives are blocked from training by budget caps that treat public investment like household debt. The wards have vacancies, the training facilities sit empty, and the people who want to fill both exist in the same buildings where Treasury spending limits keep them apart.
I grew up in Cudworth watching my mum come home from night shifts at the care home, her uniform still smelling of industrial disinfectant, and that particular mix of sadness and purpose that comes from caring for people in their final months. She never complained, but I could see it in her shoulders, the way she carried the weight of other people's dignity. I knew from about age 10 that I wanted to be a nurse, not because of some grand calling, but because I'd watched her do it right, and I wanted to learn how. I left school at 16 and spent the next decade in retail, stacking shelves at Tesco, and later managing the floor at a discount clothing chain in Barnsley town centre. But every evening, I was saving, putting aside £20 here, £50 there, building toward the access to nursing course at Barnsley College. It took me 3 years to save enough. The course was brilliant. For the first time since I was a kid, I felt like I was learning something that mattered. Biology, anatomy, care ethics. I passed with distinctions across the board. In 2019, I applied to Sheffield Hallam University for adult nursing. Got accepted. I remember opening that email in the staff room at work and actually crying with relief. Then came the second email. The cohort was capped at 180 students due to Health Education England funding limits. There was a waiting list. I could defer for a year, and they'd try to find me a place in 2020. I deferred. Spent another year folding clothes and dealing with customers who treated shop staff like we were invisible. Applied again in 2020. Same story. The funding hadn't increased. The cap remained at 180. They were sorry, but perhaps I could try again next year. By 2021, I was desperate. I applied to Huddersfield University instead. Their admissions coordinator was honest with me on the phone. Their nursing places had been cut from 120 to 80 because NHS England's training budget had been frozen by Treasury spending controls. She said it like she was announcing the weather, this fact that destroyed my plans, delivered in the same tone as, "It looks like rain." I went to an open day at Sheffield Teaching Hospital's NHS Foundation Trust, thinking maybe I could find another route in. The head of nursing was giving a presentation about career opportunities. During the question period, I asked about training pathways for mature students. She looked genuinely pained. "We have 47 unfilled nursing positions right now," she said. 47. "But we cannot increase training places because there simply isn't the funding from Health Education England." I started working as a healthcare assistant at Barnsley Hospital while I figured out what to do next. The work was exactly what I'd expected. Challenging, exhausting, essential. I loved it. But every day I was doing tasks that I could do better with proper training, watching qualified nurses stretched so thin they barely had time to eat. One afternoon, I got lost looking for the staff toilets and ended up in a corridor I'd never seen before. Through the glass doors, I could see what looked like a medical training facility. Simulation labs, hospital beds with monitoring equipment, IV stands, resuscitation dummies, everything covered in dust sheets. It looked like a museum exhibit of a hospital ward. I asked my supervisor about it later. "Oh, that's the old nursing training wing," she said. "Been mothballed since 2018. Mothballed. As though it was a warship we might need again someday. I couldn't let it go. During my break, I went back and peered through the windows more carefully. The equipment looked brand new. State-of-the-art simulation equipment worth hundreds of thousands of pounds, just sitting there gathering dust. I counted 6 fully equipped training bays. The next week, I cornered the training coordinator in the canteen. Her name was Sarah, and she'd been at the hospital for 15 years. I asked her about the mothballed wing. "The irony keeps me awake at night," she said. "We've got the facilities. We've got qualified tutors who were made redundant and would come back tomorrow. We've got you and dozens like you desperate to train. But Treasury treats our training budget like we're asking for charity rather than investing in the workforce that keeps people alive." I started asking around. How many healthcare assistants at Barnsley Hospital wanted to train as nurses? I counted 12 just on my ward. How many experienced nurses had been made redundant when the training programs were cut? Sarah gave me a list of 8 names, all of them still living locally, all of them unemployed or working in retail. The building existed, the equipment existed, the teachers existed, the students existed, the patients who needed us existed. What exactly was it that there was no money for? I used to accept that phrase. There is no funding. It sounded reasonable, like something that explained everything while explaining nothing. Everyone accepted it. The university administrators said it apologetically. The NHS managers said it with resignation. The government ministers said it like they were describing a law of physics. But laws of physics don't mothball training facilities. Laws of physics don't make qualified teachers redundant while wards run short-staffed. Laws of physics don't issue currency. The government that prints the notes and mints the coins told me it could not find enough of them to train the people who were standing right there, ready to work. The real question was never about money. It was about whether the people existed, whether the skills could be taught, whether the equipment was available. They were. All of them. The excuse was not a fact. It was a choice wrapped in the language of impossibility. It is the same logic as a household that says we cannot afford it, except a household does not issue its own currency. The government does. The limit was never the money. The limit was the willingness to spend it into the places and the people who needed it. I'm still at Barnsley Hospital, still watching qualified nurses work double shifts while empty training bays sit locked behind glass doors. Still meeting healthcare assistants who could be nurses and nurses who could be training the next generation. All of us existing in the gap between what the NHS needs and what HM Treasury chooses to fund. This is not just my story. It is the story of every constituency where people and needs exist side by side while someone in Westminster says the cupboard is bare.
What Kirsty experienced has a name: impossible expectations. This technique demands a guarantee of zero waste or perfect outcomes before committing resources, a standard never applied to other government spending. It is like demanding that every seed planted must grow into a perfect tree before you will water any of them, while ignoring the forest that springs up when you simply plant and tend. The tobacco industry used impossible expectations for decades, demanding absolute proof that cigarettes caused cancer, while dismissing studies that showed strong correlations. They insisted that anything less than perfect certainty meant no action should be taken. Meanwhile, people kept smoking and dying. In Kirsty's story, HM Treasury demanded guarantees that every nursing student would graduate, that every graduate would stay in the NHS, that every pound spent on training would generate a precisely measurable return. No such standard applies to bank bailouts or tax cuts for corporations. The NHS training budget was frozen because someone decided that imperfect outcomes were worse than no outcomes at all. The NHS is not a bottomless pit. NHS costs are measurable. The UK spends less per capita on health than France, Germany, or the Netherlands. Bottomless pit sets an impossible standard where no amount of evidence of need is ever sufficient. The UK government issues its own currency. It does not need to find pounds before it spends them. The real constraint is resources: people, skills, materials, time. And in Kirsty's constituency, those resources were sitting idle. The resources existed. The people existed. The decision not to connect them was political, not financial. Barnsley North ranks 113 out of 543 English constituencies on the English Indices of Deprivation 2025, placing it in deprivation decile. 3. The constituency has 118 registered charities, according to the Charity Commission Register. Grant funding totaled £580,000, according to 360 Giving Grant Nav. All sources are published at blockedbritain.co.uk. Blocked Britain tells the stories of people whose lives are shaped by the gap between what Britain needs and what its institutions choose to provide. Every character is fictional. Every situation is drawn from official statistics produced by Blocked Britain.